Memories of growing up in Melbourne's eastern suburbs, 1952 to 1974, by Irene Hughes, née Wallen. I was born in Kew in 1952 and spent my entire childhood at 24 Colonga Road, North Bourne, in a house my father built. Mum and Dad met in Hillsville, where Dad's family ran a small farm. Mum was a Canterbury girl. After they married, moving to the eastern suburbs made sense, especially with the growing number of new housing estates in the area. Post-war, Dad worked in Heidelberg, building Housing Commission homes, and I suspect a few building materials might have found their way to our house on Colonga Road. After World War II, construction materials were scarce, and new homes were restricted to a maximum of 12 squares, making ours quite small by today's standards. My sister and I always shared a bedroom. Despite the modest house, our block was large. Dad was a keen gardener who grew most of our vegetables in the backyard and kept several beehives for many years. The property was bordered by a side laneway, originally meant for night carts, however, was never used for that purpose. Although we did have an outside toilet for many years prior to the sewerage being connected to Colonga Road. Colonga Road itself was originally unsealed, with a huge old eucalyptus tree growing right in the middle of it. Cars would pass on either side. Eventually, this beautiful landmark was removed when the road was surfaced. At the top of Colonga Road, near Belmore Road, stands a large house, built by well-known local builder Frank Sanders in the 1950s. He was responsible for several homes in the Bourne area, but this particular one had a distinctive Art Deco design. The local milk bar, Fidges, stood at the Belmore Road roundabout. This roundabout is reputedly the oldest in Melbourne and incorporates Union Road and Belmore Road. Along one side of Belmore Road were a group of shops, including Lawson's Hardware, which doubled as a post office. The Caldo family ran one of the two greengrocers where my mother worked part-time after I started high school. Afterwards, the family sold the shop and Mum took a job at the Holeproof factory in Box Hill, famous at the time for making the cheekily named Witch's Breeches. Imagine bike shorts trimmed all over with frilly lace. In the late 1950s, on the eastern side of the roundabout, there were several old, unused shops and a house owned by Miss Agnes Bird. Miss Bird lived there for many years before the land was sold and redeveloped into the supermarket and shops that were built during the 1970s. Our family doctor, Dr. Pawsey, worked from his home on Belmore Road, and, as was customary back then, also made house calls. The local dentist, Dr. Amos, had his surgery on Belmore Road, which was also his home. Prior to a phone being installed in our home in the mid-1960s, we would walk to the roundabout and queue to use the public phone on Belmore Road. If anyone needed to reach my parents urgently, our neighbours, Mr. and Mrs. Benalik, who owned a phone, were always kind enough to take messages for us. Mrs. Benalik also took me to Sunday school at the Coonung Heights Methodist Church, which is located on the corner of Belmore and Winfield Roads. I attended kindergarten in Ajana Street, followed by Greythorne Primary School. I did not enjoy kindergarten and once ran home. Like most public schools of the time, class sizes were large, and now I notice in one photo 47 students in my grade. My main memories are of the bottled milk served at morning playtime, trading swap cards, and learning to write with pen and ink. Each morning we lined up in the quadrangle and marched in to the tune of the Colonel Bogey March. After primary school, I attended Greythorne High School, headmaster Mr. Cockrum. The school was still quite new in the mid-1960s when I commenced. Much of the school grounds were still unfinished, with piles of dirt located at the Doncaster Road end. Cross-country runs were held along Coonung Creek. At the time, it was open paddocks, a haven for boys on bikes and girls with horses. All the girls took cooking classes for half a day each week, while the boys did carpentry. Girls also had sewing lessons and there were typing classes on manual typewriters. I wasn't the most dedicated student, preferring horses and pop music. Our friend's father worked at the new Channel O studios in Nunawading and managed to get us into several tapings of The Go Show. It was very exciting, especially as the host, Ian Turpie, had a close association with Greythorn High. Ian and his girlfriend, Olivia Newton-John, would occasionally come to the school to collect family members. I did have tennis lessons at the Yarbert Avenue courts in Bourne and was a member of the Bourne Swimming Club, located at the Bourne Pool. Before the pool was built, I remember the site being used as a local tip. When the pool opened, it was a great community asset and seemed modern for its time, with separate pools for different ages and abilities, and even a diving pool with a 10-metre tower for those brave enough to try it. Day trips to the city usually involved catching the number 42 tram from the Mont Albert terminus. Mont Albert also had a good selection of shops, including Wendy's Wool Shop, where Mum went for all her knitting supplies. The dentist there, Dr. McIntyre, had briefly played for Collingwood Football Club. The intersection was one of the last in Melbourne to feature Marshallite clock traffic lights. If we chose to walk home from Mont Albert rather than take the Erne Street bus along Union Road, we would pass Dr. Thomas's beautiful rose garden. Dr. Thomas, who was president of the Victorian Rose Society during the 1950s and 60s, wrote several books on growing roses. I remember my childhood in Melbourne's eastern suburbs fondly. It was a wonderful place and time to grow up.